Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement. Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Mama Activist Podcast. Today's episode, I am going to have a conversation with my sister, Cassandra, again. She's back on the show. Afra is also here with us. It's the perks of being back in the UK and not being able to afford childcare here. So if you hear someone in the background playing or making noise, don't worry, it's just Afra being present and participating in today's episode. So hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Ophelia. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How is the pregnancy going?
Pregnancy is going very well. I am entering my third trimester next week. And then, you know, I'm just looking forward at that stage. I'm just looking forward to meet my baby. That's it. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I remember stepping into the third trimester, but it's weird also because you don't really know, like you don't really feel the difference, but then at some point you will feel the difference, like at the point where you get to be like really too tired, where your belly always feels heavy, then you'll be like, oh yeah, this is the third trimester. But I'm happy that so far. Sorry?
Yeah, you're right, exactly.
Is this how you're feeling now? Like, tired?
No, not yet. Look, the tiredness start to settle in again, but the back pain, I think my belly just grew within a week, which made the back pain even like, you know, more intense all of a sudden.
Your whole body is expanding. And in the third trimester, you get to an expansion, you're like, how much more can I grow? And you're actually going to surprise yourself because it doesn't stop. Even until the end, you will grow. And you're just, I remember feeling like even walking was a bit too much for me toward the end. I just felt like enormous. Well, you actually came to see me, remember? I struggled to remember. Even when I remember we met in London with mom and you, and she was making fun of the way I was walking. And I was actually walking this way because that was the only way I could manage all of these weights. And I think I was at the end of my 8 months going toward the 9 months.
I remember the videos when we had chats and everything.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining me for today's episode. Today, we are going to talk about pregnancy loss, and I think it's very important to have this conversation in general to make more space for women who are experiencing pregnancy loss and miscarriage, and also because, you know, unless we bring more awareness on this topic, women who are going through this will not really have the support, neither the space that they deserve to heal, because pregnancy loss at any stages of the pregnancy is still a loss that can feel, it can be very painful, it can be really traumatizing. And I feel like many women don't even want to talk about it, or want to, like, they feel ashamed, they feel like it's a taboo. So I think it's important. So yeah, thank you for joining in this conversation.
Of course.
And so I guess because we both experience pregnancy loss. I think that me, I want to share my experience for anyone who's listening to this episode and who has been going through similar thing. And I also want you to share your experiences if you feel comfortable doing it, obviously. And I know being pregnant now, I don't want this to trigger you or to, but also I think it's very good because, you know, it's also for someone who has been through pregnancy loss at a time where you were really vulnerable and you really had no hopes to see you now, pregnant, healthy, with a healthy baby, is also what's the word I'm looking for, is inspiring. Is very inspiring, yeah. Do you want to start? I would like you to start. Do you want to tell us about the Hey Afra.
Sure. So what happens? So So being a mom, to start with this, I think it's pretty much every woman, but not every woman has the desire to have kids. But on my case, it was something that I always wanted. So after years of waiting, not necessarily on my own will, I got pregnant for the first time in January this last year, so January 2022. What happened was, 8 weeks later, I don't know, I had a feeling. I can't really explain. I can't really explain how I felt, but I saw a tiny bit of blood, and then I figured, you know, in the UK the NHS do not offer you a scan until you're 12 weeks plus. So I went to a private clinic, which was on my own expense. Got there, obviously you're anxious like everyone, but you try to put the anxiety on the side. So I went there like trying to be as hopeful as I could. I went with a friend because my partner was not available, so he didn't come with me. The guy started to do the scan and basically looked at me after 5 minutes of trying to look for something, I'm assuming the heartbeat, looked at me and said, "I'm very sorry. I can't see your heartbeat." So basically, I think even though you expect that it can go wrong, it's still a shock when it does go wrong. All the mental preparation is not helping for that. And then basically the first diagnosis was that it was a missed miscarriage. So missed miscarriage is when the pregnancy stops, but your body does not understand that the pregnancy has stopped, and therefore it doesn't clean the pregnancy to allow your cycle to come back to normal. So the body still believes you're pregnant while the fetus is dead. So they referred me to the hospital a few days later, went to the hospital, got a second scan, and then the second scan confirmed that there was nothing there. Whatever was there just got destroyed. And they expected, it just expected that the body will now start cleaning because there's still a lot of blood. 2 weeks later, still nothing, no blood, no cramping, still some symptoms of pregnancy. Went back to the hospital. And this time around, the scan showed some grapefruits like shape inside my uterus, and it looked like my uterus had swollen. Turns out what they suspected was I had a molar pregnancy. So molar pregnancy is very not common. I think it touched, like, you know, 25% of pregnancy end up in miscarriage, and I think 1% out of those miscarriage end up in the molar pregnancy. So they suspected I had either a partial pregnancy, which means the baby started to develop, but at some point either the chromosomes were not right, or they had way too much, or I had a complete molar pregnancy, which means that to start with, the baby was just not viable. Whatever grew was doomed to die. So they scheduled me for Dilated and Courage, I think is DNC the name of the operation where they scrap everything out to send whatever I had to the lab to get the exam done, the blood test to check my pregnancy hormones. So one way to find out whether or not you have a molar pregnancy is if your pregnancy hormone, which is called HCG, is over the roof. Normally, if you have a complete molar pregnancy, your pregnancy hormone are 10 times higher than what it should be. And after the operation, within a week, I received a letter confirming I had a molar pregnancy, which if it wasn't for the operation, if it's not treated, can become a rare sort of cancer. So pretty much what I understood was molar pregnancy is a non-cancerous tumor that grows instead of the baby. And if not treated, it just spread over your body. The cancer in itself is not dangerous. It's 100% chance of healing, but that was it. So it was removed. And then I was referred to the Charing Cross, which is a hospital in London. They have, I think, only two or three in the UK specialized in molar pregnancies, where I started the follow-up, which was a blood test and urine test every 2 weeks to check that my hormone pregnancy hormones were going down. And then after the blood shows that everything is normal, it was supposed to be urine test until December. So December last year, until the follow-up was over. But turns out I got pregnant a bit earlier than they wanted. And I'm very, very grateful that this pregnancy is going well, because I remember calling the hospital to tell them, listen, you know, I'm pregnant. And then telling them, and then telling me, but I thought we told you, I thought you knew that you cannot get pregnant right now. And they just stopped everything. After I confirmed the pregnancy was viable, they stopped, they removed me from their database and they sent me a letter saying, now that we know you're pregnant, and this pregnancy seems to be fine, we will not follow up anything from you, neither this pregnancy or the next one. Voila. That was my experience. I guess why I'm not shy talking about it is because I found out, first of all, that when you start talking about it, there's more people that share their own stories. Mm-hmm. Miscarriage touch way more women or families or womb men, because you have also people who doesn't identify themselves as women that can get pregnant too. More people than you expect. And the spectrum of what a miscarriage is, I think, is so misunderstood. I genuinely thought that the miscarriage was just, you bleed, that means over. But I had no idea what a miscarriage was. I had no idea what a molar pregnancy was. I didn't even know what ectopic pregnancy also was, which could also be a risk. So I think the more you speak about it, it also helps other people to educate themselves about what can happen and be prepared to face any situation. Because I didn't know what was a molar pregnancy, and you hear the term cancer, tumor, and everything, it's very scary to fall into it. And then obviously it was a massive mental battle for me to recover from that, because it's not only you bleed and then your cycle come back in a month and then you can get pregnant again. It was constantly going back to the hospital every 2 weeks, being reminded of what happened, being told you can't have kids right now, being told there's a risk that you can't have kids right now, hearing that it could happen even more because it happened to you. Because once it happened once, the likelihood of this happening a second time is higher than normal people. So basically getting pregnant the second time was very hard at the beginning, because the level of anxiety I faced was huge. And unfortunately, as much as the partner is trying, especially if it's a man, they just can't understand. They just can't understand, and therefore the level of support that you might expect from them is nowhere near what you get. So here's my experience.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your experience. Yeah, you are really brave.
What about you?
You are really brave from sharing your experience. I actually just this month wrote an article about pregnancy loss and the different type of pregnancy loss or miscarriage, and the molar pregnancy The definition I found is when a fetus doesn't form properly in the womb, and it's a very rare complication of pregnancy. I didn't have the percentage of women that are affected by it, but yeah, I remember seeing and reading about how rare this complication of pregnancy is. And you are so right in so many things that you said, like, you know, before I experienced my miscarriage, I didn't think about the different types of miscarriage and, you know, how, like, what different kind of complication a woman can get during her pregnancy that will lead to her losing the baby. And also, you know, I think the fact that you got pregnant after it is also beautiful. And obviously, I have so many questions, but my first question is, how did you feel after you had the news of
I when I got pregnant again, when I got the results.
Well, how did you feel? Because obviously,
well, I was with you.
Yeah, I remember. I remember you came to visit.
I was with you. I remember, to be honest, that the night just before, my period was supposed to come. I have intense cramping, and I remember holding Afra, looking at her smile, and praying God. That me being late meant that, you know, I could get this blessing too. How, when the test got positive, the instant reaction this time was, don't get excited. And I thought to my head, don't say it to anybody. I wanted to keep it for myself as long as I could, until I was sure that it was safe to share it. To protect myself of, you know, any disappointment, but also, you know, when you say it to people, it looks real, and when you lose it, it looks even more real. So I think it was first and foremost happiness, straight followed by shit. Literally, what happened if it happens again? And I was also in a very strange mental health as well. I started antidepressant and stuff, so I was trying to see how will I balance the, because when you get pregnant for the first time and everything goes well, you do have a certain level of anxiety. It's normal for every woman. No woman who is pregnant will tell you it was beautiful from A to Z with no low moments, nothing. Everybody has their moment of stress.
Yeah,
when you go through miscarriage or two miscarriages, you can relate, I'm sure. The level of fear you have for something that is normally so trivial, it's much, much, much higher. And you kind of feel that this first experience was a little bit stolen from you, because you live in fear for the first 3 months, and then you live in anxiety for the rest of the 6 months. But yeah, I think that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot even imagine the fear. You know, it's true that I can relate. Hey, Afra, I can relate to what you were saying when you said that, you know, every woman, every pregnant woman has some kind of fear and anxiety being pregnant. But having gone through what you have been through, and then, you know, you also mentioned that she had some mental health challenges after the smaller pregnancy. So I think that, you know, you must be very courageous now to be able to hold it together, because I think that you are doing very well in terms of holding it together. I also just want to bounce on one of the things that you say, you know, women, we are often advised not to tell anyone about our pregnancy before the first 13 weeks in case of a miscarriage. But a lot of it is to do with fear. And this fear is actually stopping us from receiving the support that we deserve, even in the case of a miscarriage. Because whether or not, you know, this pregnancy goes on to continue after the 13 weeks of you being pregnant, whether or not you have a miscarriage, you will still need some support. So I feel like a reason why we don't know about lots of the women in our circle who have had miscarriage, not only do we not know, but we were never able to give them the support, is because of, you know, the fact that women are often advised not to tell anyone about their pregnancy. And a lot of women are having to deal with the news to deal with the pregnancy loss by themselves. And at the time, I feel like when pregnancy losses happen, you know, they can be messy, they can be heartbreaking, they can be traumatic. And we kind of like blame ourselves, like maybe we did something wrong, like, you know, as if we can control those kind of things. So I feel like, you know, opening up those topic, talking about it to more people and telling our friends or people we feel comfortable with that we are pregnant before the 13 weeks, it actually allows us to have the support in the journey we are going, wherever we are going, you know? I think, I remember you being scared of typing calls, like, just please stop me if you don't want me to tell this, but you know, you did share, you shared it with your boss, I remember, and you got a reaction from that. You actually got her, you got some support from her because you shared it with her, no?
Yeah, so I shared it with her after 5 weeks. I felt I had to be, because at the time, you know, I'm working full time in a corporate environment, so sometimes you're required to go to the office. But the first term was very hard in the sense that I was constantly exhausted, and during the first few weeks of pregnancy, I was required to physically go to the office for a full day of company meetings and trainings, but I just couldn't do it. So I initially tried to tell her, like, listen, my mother-in-law is here, she has COVID. So I tried to play off saying, like, you know, I might carry the virus instead. And she was like, oh, no, don't worry, like, you know, do the test in the morning. And then if it's negative, you can come to the office. And I couldn't find a way out. I said, listen, I'm pregnant, I can't come, I'm exhausted. And she was like, okay. And she, the first time I told her I was pregnant, so my first pregnancy, I told her around 6-7 weeks. Until then, she got pregnant at the same time as I was, but she couldn't. They made the decision to terminate the pregnancy, which is a honorable decision if you're not ready. And mine, I lost the baby. So, and she was there through the whole, because we were sharing, you know, I was supporting her through her abortion and she was supporting me through my loss. So the second time when I told her, she was very careful on how to articulate it around me. First of all, she didn't say it to anyone. The first time, she said it to the bosses around. So when I lost the baby, I had to face as well the co-worker saying, Cassie, congratulations, I heard you're pregnant. And I'm like, no, I'm no longer pregnant, I lost the baby. For a few weeks after that. But this time she was very careful. She respected my boundaries. And then obviously my close family knew, you knew, mom knew, Conrad's mom knew, his sister knew, but in terms of close friends, if I have to be completely honest, I only started to share with my closest friends. The closest only after 12 weeks when I had the scan of 12 weeks. And the rest of my close friends only knew after 20 weeks when I had the second scan and I felt more secure. The rest of my close friend knew. And to be honest, there are some of my relatives, acquaintances, I think that's the word, that still don't know I'm pregnant. And we only found out only when I gave birth. There's this sense of fear always. And also the outside of fear is like, my first experience was so traumatic that I really want to keep this one as peaceful as possible. And unfortunately, some people always have opinion about what you do, about how you handle something. And I wanted to protect myself from any unwanted advice, any unwanted talk, any unwanted questions. So I chose privacy instead. But enough about me. What about you?
Well, I think just to bounce back again on what you just said about sharing with people, like me, I think it's fine to share with people we are comfortable with. I don't think that there's a need to share with everyone, and with the people we share, I also feel like it's their responsibility to like check with us, check our boundaries in terms of like them sharing with other people, especially when we are talking in a work setting. So I'm glad that, you know, she learned from her lesson and she checked with you before sharing with other people. But I also think that even though, you know, she did cross certain of your boundaries, I think that you are really brave to tell her about the first pregnancy. And I'm glad that from sharing this with her, you got kind of a connection with a woman who was experiencing something different, but still to do with like being pregnant. And, you know, terminating pregnancy can also be very challenging. It's something,
exactly. Yeah.
it's another kind of heartbreak, another kind of traumatic experience. And the
Exactly.
women who are going through this, you know, they are always shamed. They are often shamed because they decide to stop their pregnancy. And because of this, they also don't get the support, especially the mental support that they deserve. So I think that, you know, is nice and is beautiful to find those kind of connection in those situation, because I feel like you also needed that support when you are going through your own experience, and maybe she also needed that support when she was going through her experience. So I feel like, you know, with the people we are comfortable to share with, we should share, because otherwise we'll never get the support that we need. And there is no reason for any woman to go through this kind of experience any longer without a support network, without compassion, without understanding. And I don't think that the healing journey has to be exhausting. So this is why for me this conversation is also very, very important. So yes, just before I start sharing my experience, I think that I am going to have to do my experience in another episode. So I am going to say bye for now, and we are continuing this conversation in another episode.
Okay.